Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the EWL Political Mentoring Network and 50/50 Campaign conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, the 18th of November, 2013. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Ms. Karima Zahi, Policy Officer and Projects Coordinator. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and hello, everybody. It's a pleasure for us to talk to you about these two activities, that is to say, the Political Mentoring Network, which I'm part of now, and also the 50/50 Campaign for Parity in the.
Oh, very good.
My colleague, Serap, will tell you in a moment, tell you about in a moment. In relation to the Political Mentoring Network, it's a project that we started in 2012 with our partner, KVINFO, spelled K-V-I-N-F-O, in running mentoring programs for women from ethnic minorities, both in relation to their integration in the labor market, but also in politics.
Hello, Karima.
Yes.
Sorry, but you're fading in and out. I don't know why. I don't know whether everyone else is having the same experience, because every now and then you become very faint.
Yes.
Are you speaking on conference?
Yes, absolutely. And the same happens with, earlier with when you spoke. It broke up a little bit.
Really? That's strange, because it shouldn't be doing that. I mean, we're on a normal telephone line.
Okay. Okay, I will try and.
That's better.
Okay. That's the telephone and I'm closer to my mouth now.
Okay.
Okay. So the methodology, if you want, of the program was the following. We advertised for this opportunity, excuse me, to participate in this program through our membership, mainly on our website, of course, but through our membership, that is to say, in the 28 EU member states who reached out to women from ethnic minorities who are involved in politics, either at local or national level, and who intended to run for the European elections of 2014. That was one of the main criteria to be a participant in the program. Likewise, we wrote to quite a large number of MEPs whom we already had a relationship with, mainly, and whom we knew shared the same values in relation to promoting gender equality and, generally speaking, human rights and equality, to be mentors, that is to say. So after we received the—I'll come back to the mentees—after we received the applications, we carried out interviews with all the women who had applied. And we have now, through the evaluation process, looked at the countries where those applications came from, and they more or less came from all 28 EU countries. And in relation to the MEPs now, who are mentors, they come from different political families, so right across the political families. And they also had to undergo to fill in a form with specific questions as to their expectations and how they would foresee this relationship as a mentor. And also, we had an interview with them to look at what kind of persons, what kind of profile they were looking for, because obviously, we appreciated that it can be sensitive to ask a mentor and likewise a mentee to have the other person coming from another political party, for example. So we gave that option. And as it turned out, most of them did not see any objection to being in a pair, if you want, to be matched with somebody from a different political party. The program then was launched earlier this year in April. And I'll come back to the methodology then. There are the following elements. So the mentees, now we have a total of nine mentees. They have a relationship after we match them with a mentor, and they're happy with that relationship. they develop an activity plan, which you know they both agree on how they want to conduct their relationship, how often, for example, they want to meet or to call each other or write to each other, and on what subjects particularly. As well as that, we here organize a number of leadership and capacity building sessions, mainly in Brussels, because this means that the mentees also have the opportunity to meet face-to-face with her mentor and also to go to the sessions at the Parliament in Brussels, that is to say, the political groups' meetings and the committee meetings. And that's the reason why it's mainly organized in Brussels. As well as that, then, we have a session organized in Strasbourg, and that gives them the opportunity to also experience firsthand how it work, you know, how things work during a plenary and the voting and the, you know, the so in terms of the program itself, you know, the leadership and capacity building, we cover themes that were identified, of course, by the mentees themselves, that you know the thought would be of use to prepare them for the elections, and that includes, for example, learning about running a campaign, political campaign, and fundraising for it, on negotiation skills, communication, generally speaking, but also how to handle the media in particular, and other areas that have yet to be identified. So far, we've had leadership and capacity building sessions, and we're in the phase two of the project because we had to renew our request for funding from the main funders, that is to say, well, there's the European Commission, which is the main funder of the European Women's Lobby, and in relation to the mentoring project, then the main funder is also the Open Society Foundations. So we have now secured the second phase, which is starting right now, until just after the elections, that is to say, June of 2014, because the idea will be also to have a last session to do some kind of a post-mortem, if you want, of the elections, and to see what how things turned out and why, and have the opportunity to analyze a little bit the outcome of all that. So I mentioned the evaluation, that the program is being evaluated by an external evaluator. And also, if you look at the website, that is to say the EWL website, under our work, you will see European Political Network. There is a page there where we will post regularly news about the network, and we have the first part of a web documentary, which obviously you know, will document the whole program from the perspective of the mentees as they you know, as they develop in the program, but also as of the mentors and other interested parties. I think I've covered most of the key elements. And just to mention about the women themselves, the mentees, they also come from different political parties and from different ethnic and religious backgrounds, of course. And so far, we've had a confirmation that at least three of them are definitely on the electoral list for the European elections. So if you have any questions, you're welcome to ask me if you want more information about the specific part of the program. Or hello?
Yeah, Karima, thanks for that. I mean, look, I've got some questions, but I first of all maybe open it up to the participants to see if any of the participants want to generate any questions.
Yes.
As a reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To cancel your request, please press the hash key. Again, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash key to cancel your request. There are no questions at this time. Please.
Okay. Well, look, I have some, Karima.
Yes, Karim, yes.
Thanks very much for that. How many women have you actually got as mentees then right now?
Right now there are 9 women. Yes. I mean, in relation to the program, we had, you know, aimed to have, you know, between 8 to 12 women.
Right.
At some point there were 11 women, and unfortunately 2 had to leave the program. So, but yes. For the rest, I mean, they are very, you know, dedicated, because you can appreciate that it is also very time-consuming. You know, we ask the women to come 3 to 4 days at a time. And obviously they have they are all employed in elsewhere and also running their campaigns, so that means that they have to time-wise have the possibility to commit, which is the case for those who are actually in the program.
Okay, so you have 9 women.
Yes.
How many member states are represented of those 9 women?
Currently there are 6 member states.
Which are the member states, just out of interest?
Yes, I can tell you. The UK, Belgium, the Netherlands, Denmark, France.
Okay.
And Germany, sorry. Yes, and Germany, yes. And so obviously, you know, some people we've had some feedback in relation to maybe anticipating other questions, why, you know, no southern countries or no eastern to central European. There were actually... there was one from Hungary who couldn't stay in the program, but we have to say that, you know, this is where they are mostly women from ethnic minorities who have been there for long enough and involved in politics.
Okay.
And also, I have to say, the one key thing is also the use of the English language. Some women, unfortunately, could not be retained in the program, because in fact, when we and this is something that we are learning from ourselves. When we applied for the funding for this program, we did not make provisions for interpreting services, which you appreciate are, you know, of high cost.
Mm.
But this is my own opinion, of course, that we should have. You know, that this is a definite prerequisite to enabling the inclusion of more women. You know, to have interpreting facilities.
Yeah, no, I mean, because we also, I mean, that's why we're very keen to make the link with your project, because, I mean, I can see now, having sort of, I'd looked on your website previously also, and I can see maybe after this call we can have a separate discussion.
Yes.
But I can see some synergies, and if it's feasible, then, you know, that could be quite interesting to look for some synergies, because we have also, as I say, within our project, the idea of a capacity-building program for a group of women, and we do have money for a bit of interpretation in that. But again, very limited. So inevitably, you end up either in one language or at the best, 2 languages that everyone has to work in, which obviously is a drawback.
Yes.
Can I just go back to more specifics, though?
Yes.
I mean, what's the kind of age span of the women, if I can ask that, the 9 women? I mean, are they sort of like... You know, how many of them are under 30, how many of them are between 30 and 45, and how many of them are 45 plus?
Yes, it's a good question. I mean, they are, at the top of my head, I can't remember exactly the number, but most of them are, some are under 30,
right.
And some of them, most of them would be between 30 and 35.
Oh, right, okay.
And, they're a relatively, let's say, younger age group.
And have any of the women held any kind of local
yes.
political office already for their party?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, one of them is a, let's say, I don't know what I can say, but a more mature woman, let's say, around 45. She was in the Dutch parliament. You know, she was a parliamentarian in the Dutch parliament.
Right, okay.
For 4 years. And another one, for example... is currently involved in local politics and has a holds office, and also another one in the UK. And I know that's the case for quite a few of them that are, you know, have had a function at local or actually national level.
And, I mean, you said 3 are actually on the list right
yes.
now.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 are basically would-be MEPs, but they're not going to be on any party list for the 2014 elections?
Well, that's... I'm not really sure, for some of them, at what level they are in terms of getting onto the party list. I mean, for example, one from the Netherlands, I only heard that last week. She confirmed it last week, in fact. You know, so they were still in the process of going onto the list. So it could be the case that some of them are still in negotiation with their parties. And obviously, I have to say something very important in this respect. We cannot intervene directly with their parties to influence, they're taking on the particular mentee on their list. But what we do is, with the help of with the cooperation of CERAP and the 50-50 campaign, we have written to the political parties to first tell them about our campaign and tell them that we would like them to make sure that they have an equal number of men and women on their list, and also women from ethnic minorities in particular, to obviously promote policies that are that are pro equality, and particularly gender equality, but other equalities as well. And so that we do conjointly with the program, and we make sure that we obviously write to the people that are involved in the selection of these particular mentees.
I don't know. Are there any questions now from the I don't want to sort of hog the discussion, but are there any questions from the participants?
As another reminder, to register a question, please press star 1. To cancel your request, please press the hash key. There are no requests at this time. Please continue.
Okay. Karima, can I then turn to the mentors?
Yes.
I assume you've got one mentor per mentee. Is that the relationship? So
yes, that is a relationship. And just to say that, of course, for most people, for most of the pairs, let's say, the relationship is going very smoothly, actually very, very well, because for most of the mentors, they actually go beyond what is expected from them. They invite voluntarily the mentee to conferences or events that they will be speaking at, and give that kind of visibility themselves. Some of them even have paid for such trips. And then, of course, we're talking about members of the European Parliament, and as it can be expected for others, their busy schedules don't always allow for the frequency of interaction that perhaps the mentee would be expecting. But that only happens, in one or two occasions. And then this means that you have to intervene, as a coordinator, to step in and to see what can be improved there at that level, if indeed it is a question of a lack of availability or lack of will or commitment, if you see what I mean. So because we want to make sure, obviously, that the program is successful insofar as the mentees, who are the primary beneficiaries of the program, do indeed make the most out of it. And so we are there to obviously support both the mentees but also the mentors if they feel that at some point they can't commit any longer. Because, you appreciate that in all relationships that involve people, it means that rather than organizations, it means that we have to make sure that there are good synergies there, and that, there's no problem of communication or otherwise.
And are the mentors from the same member states as the mentees? In other words, have you got a UK mentee twinned up with a UK mentor, or is it sort of like mixed?
No, it's a total mix, except for the mentee from Denmark. Her mentor is from Denmark, but from another political party. But for the rest, they are from different member states.
So the UK, for example, the UK mentee
has somebody from Slovenia, and the other one has somebody from the Netherlands.
And how does that work, out of interest? Because the political systems obviously are very, very different, ultimately, in those countries, and the way that the parties operate are very different in those countries. Is the focus of the mentoring program really around empowerment of the mentees as women and as ethnic minority women?
Mm.
So are the mentors ethnic minority women, or are they?
Well, unfortunately not. That's from my perspective. When we reached out to the potential mentors, that is to say to the MEPs, we absolutely made sure, of course, that all, obviously those that we know are ethnic minorities, MEPs were approached to, and requested to be a mentor. I'll give you an example. Emina Boskoort from the Netherlands, SND, that is to say, Livia Jaroka from Hungary, EPP. They declined, and for all the same reason, because they could not commit the time in that. But they assured us that they would support the political mentoring network, and that they could, we could ask them to do, for example, organize events for us or that sort of thing, but not to be mentors. But ideally, yes, I mean, from my perspective, there should have been some mentors from ethnic minorities in that case. And in relation to your question on the political systems, which are different, yes, it's a good question. Yes, the idea of the program is to empower the women and to give them the opportunity to learn about how it's done firsthand at the parliament. They, you know, when we asked them, for most of them, what was their preference in terms of political party or member state, etc., none of them requested specifically to have somebody from their country or from their party. We didn't further try to gauge why that is. I suspect that also sometimes people can be in competition with each other.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Because, of course, you know, when things are closer to home, you appreciate there are dynamics there that you might not be aware of, that people mightn't want to share with you either. But the main point about the program also is not just empowerment, it's also the access to networks. And that they get, you know, for most of them, they don't have access necessarily to networks, political networks, and particularly not at European level. Because things happen differently at European level, you will appreciate. At least they get the chance to meet, through their mentor, people of interest that could have an influence also at home, you know, in their home country. And this is the kind of feedback we have received so far, that they have really benefited from access to these networks through their mentor.
These are political, I mean, when you say networks, you're talking about sort of other people inside the European
yes,
political structures, yeah?
Absolutely, yes, particularly within the parliament and also their own home MEPs, you know, they have the opportunity to learn about them, what the work they've done through their mentor, who is, you know, obviously supposed to be somebody rather neutral and to convey the kind of things that work, that don't work, and who is active, who is not so active, and who's, you know, who is supportive of what issues, etc. They have the opportunity that way to also learn about their own country's MEPs, as well as access to, you know, people of influence in the different political families.
Okay. Look, I just want to again see if there's anyone in the participants' space who wants to ask a question.
As another reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. To cancel your request, please press the hash key. There is a question from the line of Maria Posulaki. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. I don't know if you mentioned that before. Just to clarify something, you mentioned that there were 6 member states, and I just wanted to ask whether there were applications for women to participate in the program from other member states as well.
Yes, absolutely. This is Maria, yes?
Yes, yes.
Ah, okay, Maria. Thank you for your question. Yes, absolutely. We advertise for this in all 28 member states, also in Croatia, anticipating the entrance, you know, because of Croatia. So we did that much earlier on to give everybody the opportunity to participate. And I can maybe, you know, send you, I mean, I have an evaluation. I can, you know, if you find it useful. A table, you know, it's not a table, it's like a graph of the percentage for each country in terms of applications.
Okay, okay.
And just to have an idea, around 70, or even fast, 72 women showed interest, that is to say, because it was an online registration. And I have to really mention also something very important. We had a database that was developed by our partners from Denmark, Quinfo, which encountered some problems during the recruitment process, and that had the effect of delaying the recruitment process, and perhaps you know, we saw that some women showed an interest and did not in fact send their application. So out of the 72 women who showed an interest, I think it is 46 applied.
Okay.
And
okay.
So all
thank 46 you very much.
All 46 were also interviewed.
Okay.
On phone, I take it, interviewed by phone, I take it.
Yes, yeah. It was by phone. And I have to say, and this is also part of our learning process and evaluation, that things could have been better, of course, as they often are, insofar as we could have anticipated, but I think the main concern of my colleagues who were taking part in the recruitment selection process in earlier this year, beg your pardon, before I took on the post in March, is that... you know, you appreciate 46 people was quite a lot. Perhaps it would have been beneficial to ask our national coordinations, that is to say the European Women's Lobby coordinations in each member state, to have a first interview, if you want, face-to-face with each candidate, and then to give us some feedback, to do like a, if you want, like a first pre-selection. I'm a believer myself that, you know, face-to-face is always the best option than via telephone. But that's a learning point in any case for our next program, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the participants?
There are no further questions at this time.
Karima, just what from me, again, sorry, but just to sort of focus a bit on the program.
Yes.
Because that would be really helpful for us as well. I mean, you were saying that there are various elements in the program that you're offering the mentees, essentially.
Yes.
One, obviously, is the meeting with mentors.
Yes.
I mean, how many meetings do they really have with mentors during this time? I mean, I'm seeing this as a program with a start and an end.
Yes.
I'm assuming that the end is the final event you were talking about that will take place after 2014 elections, yes?
Yes, I mean, in total, I have to say that I forgot to mention that initially there was a chemistry meeting.
Right.
When we pair them up and we are, you know, pretty sure that, you know, they were happy to, with the profile that was proposed to them, then there was a meeting that was arranged. So that's the initial meeting, if you want. And then in relation to the leadership and capacity building sessions, we have a total of, let's say, for the totality of the program, six encounters. That's what we organize. Then, of course, beyond that, if they have the means to meet, which is can be the case, you know, sometimes the mentor happens to be visiting the country of the mentee, and she makes sure that she meets her. That's the case, for example, with the mentor from Slovenia, who, when she goes to London, meets up with her mentee, who's based in London.
Right.
So that's really, again, whatever else is arranged between each pair is entirely up to them. We monitor only insofar as we make sure that there is indeed something planned, that they can always review on the basis of availability, of course. But we don't put a minimum or, you know, number of meetings or phone calls or, you know, communications via email. It's really entirely up to them to see what is feasible and also what is useful from the perspective of the need also of the particular mentee. Some mentees certainly would have greater needs of guidance from the mentor than others.
And when you finally made the final selection of mentees,
yes.
Did you engage in some kind of needs assessment of the mentees and then structure your program? So in other words, did mentees say to you, we would like to know more about, you know, how the European Parliament works, or
yes,
we would like to know more about handling the media? Is that how you structured it?
Yes, that's precisely the way it has been done. So we in the that was in the initial application, we did ask, you know, to what extent they knew about particular areas that we, you know, deemed to be important for somebody who was involved in politics. And then we had a series of themes that could be areas for, you know, further knowledge to be acquired. And there was the possibility, of course, for them to also identify areas that were not listed there. So on that basis, we developed the program and targeted the areas that were of common interest to, you know, to the greatest number of mentees. Obviously, we try to make sure that everybody finds her, the topics that she wants to improve her knowledge or competence or skills on. So that's how we proceeded.
So essentially, you have six sessions here in Brussels.
No, it's six. Excuse me. Six in total, including Strasbourg. Yeah?
Okay, so you have five sessions in Brussels and one in Strasbourg.
Yes, that's it.
And of those five sessions, if I've understood it rightly, one is focused around really just participating in the European Parliament plenary sessions or committees.
Yes, they have the opportunity to go, and even if their mentor happens to not be there, because that happens, you know how it works with MEP. Sometimes they have health, sometimes they are not.
Yeah.
We always make sure that they do have access, and they actually, some other mentors have volunteered to take on another mentee if her mentor is not around, you know, to enable her to come to the committee meetings and you know, in that she could shadow her as opposed to her mentor. There's one thing I omitted to mention, sorry, and that's very important. As well as those meetings in Brussels and Strasbourg, there is one, the meeting that is organized in the country of origin of the mentor. And that is to say that will be happening, and again, it's up to them to decide when, anytime between January and the elections. And that will give the mentee, each mentee, the opportunity to follow her mentor during her own campaign. You know, in her constituency.
Right.
And likewise, we encourage the mentor, because, you know, if they have the financial means to do that, to also, but themselves, the program does not foresee any budget for that, but to also have a meeting with in the country of the mentee and to follow her during her campaign, so that she can also benefit from some advice and guidance at that level. And so far, I know there's one for sure said that she would do that, that she would be more than happy to go to her mentee's country during her campaign and support her that way.
Right, okay. And then the sessions around communication skills and handling the media and running a political campaign,
mm-hmm.
those are sort of sessions that you organize here in Brussels.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yes, we organize that in Brussels, and we always make sure, of course, that we have at least 2 days of leadership and capacity building, if not three, and also at least 1 to 1.5 day for them to be at the parliament.
Okay, but they have to come four times for this, you're saying?
I
mean, you have a budget that allows them to come to Brussels for 4 days at a time.
Yes, that's it, yes.
Okay, so you have a reasonable budget, actually, in terms of time for them.
Yes, it is a reasonable budget. I mean, it covers certainly, you know, in terms of looking at how phase one unfolded, the budget was well estimated. It really covered all that we needed to cover in relation to the activities, the different activities. So it's it was not luxury to ask for that kind of budget, but. And that is very important, that, of course, you know, we make the most out of that time, because obviously when they come here, they need to cover quite a bit. And if they want to stay on and the budget allows it, they can stay for an extra night, for example. This, of course, we try and be flexible that way. You know, if we, for example, have made some savings around the price of the trip, then... We always, of course, have that kind of flexibility, so long as we communicate with the funders.
Okay, look, Karima, thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome.
I mean, we have within our project not the resources you have, but we have money for a capacity building program here in Brussels, and maybe I'll get in touch with you separately and discuss where there is possibility for any kind of synergies when that happens. So that,
yes.
Because there'll be about... I mean, we're hoping we'll have enough money for one woman from every single partner to come.
Mm-hmm.
That also depends on our budget, how much is left in it. But we're hoping to work in that kind of way.
Yes.
So, you know, if there's chances of bringing 13 women, particularly we've got a lot of women from Eastern Europe and
yes.
Southern Europe.
Oh, good, yes.
So that would complement, I think, the grouping you've got.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was any opportunity... to bring them together during the months leading up to the elections, that would be great. Secondly, the other thing we have in our budget, which I've already made a note of, and I will again come back to you to ask if you think it's possible, we have some money for what the Commission has given us money as part of our dissemination strategy, is to roll out some of our good practice into member states who are not involved in the project. So, for example, we will be having what's called a cluster meeting in Germany. So if your mentee was interested and willing to participate in that,
yes.
that could be really interesting, because from our point of view, we're looking to identify people from those member states who are interested in these subjects.
Yes, indeed.
And then work with them in actually sort of like setting up an event in those countries targeting appropriate organizations to sort of like participate in what will be a sort of like 24-hour event.
Very good. That sounds like a very good, interesting proposal. I'm sure that we could work something out indeed to see how we can, bring the two projects together and make.
Yeah, and look, the last point again, just to put a flag down. Post 2014 election session, you said you were going to be doing as well.
Yes.
We're doing the same. I mean, because all our partners are running campaigns to promote women. And we've set up already a date for a meeting in Athens as a post-elections meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you've already fixed a date or whether you have to be in Brussels
not
for your
yet,
event.
In fact. No, we haven't fixed a date, and there's a very practical reason for that, because we only received the confirmation of further funding for phase two less than 10 days ago, and we're still trying to work out, a program that is doable for the mentees, of course, and we'll be working on that in the next couple of weeks to fix
okay.
the date. Yeah.
Well, look. I mean, let me tell you that we've fixed up a date to meet in Athens.
Yes.
And that is meeting in June. So it's just after the elections, basically.
Mm.
It's the first week in June. So, I don't know whether there's possibility to try and build in some kind of synergies between the two projects, because we'll be bringing together, all the 13 partners, their experiences, plus also we will also bring in some of the women who've been involved in the capacity building campaign.
Yes.
They'll be doing. And if your resources allow you to, then, if some of the women could come along, it'd be quite interesting to sort of like begin to share
mm-hmm.
the kind of experiences of the two
yes.
projects.
Yes, it would be, I think, very useful to know more about that meeting. Once we meet Haroon, I'm sure we'll
sure.
do that. Because, budget-wise, there could be a possibility indeed to negotiate something with the funders to make sure that indeed this sounds like a good opportunity for the mentees to meet also your partners and the women in your program.
Okay, well, look, I will make a separate meeting with you,
mm-hmm.
And we can discuss that separately.
Mm-hmm.
Can I suggest we move on to Serap then?
Yes, of course, and thank you.
We have a question
okay,
from
yes,
Bulgaria.
Sorry, we have a question still for you, Karima,
okay.
sorry.
Okay.
From Bulgaria, if the operator can give the floor to Slaveja.
I'm just opening the line now.
Okay.
The line's now open.
Okay, thank you. I thank you very much for all this information, but I didn't understand how long is this program, how much time is continuing, and I would like to know a little bit more about the selection criteria for the participants.
Yes, thank you for the question. The program started officially, in September 2012. And that
okay.
was at the first stages. What happened is some of my colleagues who were here, dealing with the project at the time, underwent a training on mentoring by our partners, Quinfo from Denmark, who have been running similar programs. Excuse
yes.
me. That was the first stage, and also then preparing on how the selection process and etc. And then the actual implementation, let's say, of the program vis-à-vis the mentees themselves,
yes.
it was the 9th of April. So that's when they had their first capacity, the leadership and capacity building session. And the program is due to end then in June, end of June 2014.
Okay,
officially.
Yeah, okay.
And in relation to the selection criteria, the criteria involved... So obviously to be a woman from an ethnic minority, that was very important because this is the target group primarily. Also to be involved in politics at the local or national level.
Mm-hmm.
English was a criteria also, being able to make use of the English language.
Yeah.
And also to share the values of you know, obviously the values of equality and human rights.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, look, thanks again, Karima.
You're very welcome. I'll pass you over to Serap.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. All the best, and we'll talk more about setting up a meeting.
Yeah, I will send you an email.
Very good, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All the best, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
So, hello. Sorry, I've got only 10, 15 minutes left because at 12 we've got another meeting.
Okay.
So I will be very quick. Thanks for inviting us. The mentoring network that Karima is coordinating, so to say, part of a 50-50 campaign. The 50-50 campaign is about the fact that women represent more than half of the population of the EU, but they are not represented equally in decision-making at all European levels. So we thought, okay, ahead of the elections, we have to do a campaign on this issue as to make sure that, so to say, everybody is mirrored and represented in the coming, after the coming elections and also in the EU institutions. So what we have done until now is that we've got a core group of MEPs from all political parties, one member who committed herself to give time and also to support this campaign financially, and also the political groups agreed on supporting this 50-50 campaign. So with this core group of MEPs, so to say, we are planning actions, events, hearings, and so on and so forth. So we had already, of course, several events. The first launch of the 50-50 campaign was last year, November, where we had an introduction and launch of the 50-50 campaign combined with the joint declaration. And the joint declaration is, so to say, a manifesto where the MEPs and the European Women's Lobby are demanding what has to be done ahead of the elections and after the elections to ensure parity. And we were luckily supported by, at that day, 50 MEPs who came at once to sign this joint declaration. And we've got now more than 100 MEPs who have signed this joint declaration. And, of course, it's open to every European citizen, woman and man. So please feel free to sign the joint declaration too. You will find this joint declaration on our paritydemocracy.eu website. I repeat, it's a paritydemocracy.eu. And there, this website, so to say, is the focal point for every action, facts, figures regarding parity, regarding equal representation of women and men, and the focal point for tools, media tools that every citizen can use to disseminate and to, so to say, make and raise awareness about the fact that we have the chance in the coming elections to enhance the representation and to make clear that gender equality is put on the political agenda. So, and as I said, we are planning to have other events and also other tools we are preparing, like a lobbying kit. This lobbying kit will include lobby letters to the national parties to force them and to make clear that they should put women and men equally on their lists, and if they have no preferential votes, please to use the zipper system. In addition, we also have a letter in the lobbying kit that can be used to send to the governments as to urge them that when it's time to compose the College of the Commissioners, that they send two candidates, one female, one man, so that it is ensured as well that we have their equal representation in the Commission after 2014. And, of course, we have also included in this lobbying kit a letter that can be used both ways. One, to disseminate the joint declaration, because this will be handed over next year to the heads or the representatives of the three institutions like the Council of the European Union, European Commission, and the European Parliament. And, of course, this letter to the European political, to the heads of the European political parties is also to urge them. We know that the lists are made on national level, but urge them to sensitize their national sister parties to be aware of having 50% women on the lists. And this is going to be published very soon, so also on our EWL website, of course, where we have a 50-50 section, but also on the separate paritydemocracy.eu website. So I can just ask you all, please, if you are working, so to say, also on the fact to enhance women's participation in politics, to use it. If you have any actions taking place, let us know. We will post it. But we also, of course, would ask you kindly to make aware of this website that is only, so to say, focusing on parity, on actions, on events, and on lobbying letters and toolkits that can be used by everyone. So, and the mentoring network, so to say, is our practical project that, apart from the tools that we have on the website, is bringing practically, so to say, women with ethnic minority or having a migration history into the focus as to show women in their diversity and to bring them practically to make them visible, but also to get them elected into the parliament. Most probably all of you know that there are not concrete figures, but according to research made by the European Network Against Racism and also an article written by The Guardian, we've got less than 2% of the members of the European Parliament who have a migration history or belonging to ethnic minorities. And then you can imagine how much percent from the 2% we're going to have women. So we wanted to show that there is a big lack as well, and to make aware that we always have to bear in mind women are diverse and to incorporate the diversity into the topic of women and getting more women elected and getting women involved in politics.
Sarah, on that point, just out of interest, in your sort of campaign, are you actually building up any data on the composition of political parties across the member states? Because the issue really is that in most member states that I'm aware of, participation in political, particularly in sort of like, I have to emphasize this is more kind of old Europe rather than new Europe, if I can make that demarcation. But I mean, essentially, participation in political parties is declining. Therefore, overall, you can begin to see that there's fewer and fewer people actually in the kind of process whereby they can be selected. So is there any picture that you'd be able to build up to see, for example, what is the percentage of women in political parties across Europe?
I mean, there is a very good map that was published by UN Women, but also you can have a look at our Women's Watch, where we are, so to say, given insight into the picture all over Europe, how it is looking like if it comes to women in decision-making. But thanks also for this question. Regarding this, we are going to have also a gender audit. This is also planned and is a, so to say, module of our 50-50 campaign that will be published coming year.
Okay, so you're going to do a gender audit then?
Exactly.
Right, okay. And when will that come out? When do you expect the results
of
that to come?
Of course, ahead of the elections in 2014.
Right, okay.
And so that means not this year, coming year.
Right, okay. Okay. Have you finished your presentation? I know you've got to
yes,
rush. So
yes, sorry for that.
No, not at all.
He's coming in 10 minutes, so we, exactly okay. Karim and me again, we have to prepare a little bit.
Sure. Look, yeah. I've actually been looking at your website as you've been talking as well, so I've got a very good idea. Are there any questions from the participants?
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 to cancel your request. Please press the hash key. There are no further requests, sir.
Well, look, because I'm conscious of time.
There's just come a question from Katya Farkasova, if you'd like to take it.
Please?
Yeah, I'll just open the line.
I just wanted to ask if there is a cooperation between European Women's Lobby in Brussels and the local branches in the countries.
Yes, because the 50-50 campaign is, so to say, there because our members have decided that we are going to have a 50-50 campaign again, because we had already won ahead of the elections in 2009. So we work closely with our national coordinations, but especially the Parity Democracy and 50-50 campaign is together with our Czech Republic member, the 50% Forum, that is also a member of Luden,
oh, yes. Yes.
And also with Romania, Romanian Women's Lobby, also with the MIX, the member from Cyprus of the European Women's Lobby, and also from Lithuania. But
and is there Slovakia in it?
Slovakia, so to say, is in that sense in it that they are planning also an event or an action. And as soon as they have their program, they are in contact with us, and we are publishing it, so to say, on our media channels, on our EWL website, on the Parity Democracy website, but also, of course, via social media, newsletter, and so on and so forth.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay. Look, I'm conscious of your time, Serap. Well, once again, thank you to both you and Karima.
Yes,
for making time this
much.
Morning. Okay.
All the best with your project.
Yes. Yeah, and all the best with yours.
And hopefully we will find synergies, as you said.
Yeah, I will drop you an email, Karima, and hopefully we can set up a meeting.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much, Harun.
Okay.
All the best.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.